Blog Talk Radio.
God, everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., and at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own First Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible. So if you would like to join us, you can call in 319-527-6204 at 7 p.m. when our First Lady will come to conduct our Bible study for this evening. Amen. And our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. Fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that is the reason why we are here every day, Tuesday through Friday, Tuesdays through Saturdays, to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. To God be the glory. At this time, I'd like to say a short prayer. Father God, I pray that it be all of you and none of me. As I bring forth your message this day, Father God, I thank you for your only begotten Son, who died on the cross so that we can receive eternal life. Father God, I pray for my pastor and all auxiliaries of this church. Father God, I pray for the increase of our congregation. Father God, I pray for our families, our friends, and our enemies. Father God, I pray you open up the understanding of the minds of those who hear my voice, that they may receive your revelation knowledge, that they may grow more and more in every way like Christ, so that they may receive the purpose of your, the purpose in your holy will. I pray for those who are sick and shut in may be healed. I pray for those who are facing trials and tribulations, receive deliverance. Father God, I pray for those that are lost in darkness, receive the light of your salvation. Oh, Father God, we thank you for supplying our every need. And Father God, all these blessings we ask and pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Amen. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free. Shame is a
Amen. Praise be to God. Again, you're listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, taking prayer requests at this time. We pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection. And again, our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye be healed. The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. I hope you enjoyed this selection.
I am the creator. I am the maker of the universe. I am the one who spoke into nothing and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. I am a healer, mender of broken hearts, Alpha Omega, your destiny and where you start. I am the one who does impossible. Just let me be who I am to you. That's who I am. Just let me be who I am for you.
Stop it.
I am the one. A need and always provides. I am the one whose name is a tower where you can run and hide. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word,
and where you start, I am the one.
moment and consider. When God speaks to Sarah at 90 years old and tells her she's about to give birth to a baby, she laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed. But you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed. Rocking with pain, but I am. Look at somebody and say, God says,
I am.
Let me be who
I am.
I don't understand how I'm gonna get out of it, but and say, God says,
I am.
Look at somebody else and say, God says,
I am.
Somebody needs another God says,
I am.
One more time, y'all. Tell them who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but
I am.
One more time, say, God says,
I am.
Just lean on him because
I am.
You can live here.
I am.
Amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. It says in Joshua 2:11, when we heard it, our hearts melted and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven. Elohim Bashamayim. Above and on earth beneath. Praise be to God. Let us pray. God in heaven, who sits in heaven and on earth beneath, you are truly the ruler over all of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can stand against you. You are Elohim, Bashamayim, which means God in heaven, who drove out the inhabitants of the land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of your friend Abraham. You have likewise gone before us to open doors we could not open on our own. And you lead us in a path we could not have created on our own. Stand before you and lift up your great name, God in heaven. We lift up our eyes and look to you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And it is as simple as that. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. I am your host, Evangelist Hilda, taking prayer requests at this time. And you can call in your prayer requests again at 319-527-6204. Praise be to God. God's power on display. And our scripture reading for this message is coming from Job chapter 38, and we're going to read verses 24 through 38. Amen. Praise God. That's Job 38, verses 24 through 38. And it says, where is the path to the source of light? Where is the home of the east wind? Who created a channel for the tolerance of rain? Who laid out the path for the lightning? Who makes the rain fall on barren land, in a desert where no one lives? Who sends rain to satisfy the parched ground and make the tender grass spring up? Does the rain have a father who gives birth to the dew? Who is the mother of the ice? Who gives birth to the frost from the heavens? For the water turns to ice as hard as rock, and the surface of the water freezes? Can you direct the movement of the stars, binding the clusters of the plates, or loosing the cords of our horizon? Can you direct the sequence of the seasons or guide the bear with her cubs across the heavens? Do you know the laws of the universe? Can you use them to regulate the earth? Can you shout to the clouds and make it rain? Can you make lightning appear and cause it to strike as you direct? Who gives intuition to the heart and instinct to the mind? Who is wise enough to count all the clouds? Who can tilt the water jars of heaven when the parched ground is dry and the soil has hardened the clods? May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. The text for this message is taken from Job 38 and 24, where it says, what is the way to the place where the lightning is dispersed, or the place where the east winds are scattered over the earth? Amen. The title, again, is God's Power on Display. The writer says, it was a lightning storm, and my six-year-old daughter and I were on the floor watching the dazzling display through the glass door. She kept repeating, wow, God is so big. I felt the same way. It was obvious to both of us how small we were and how powerful God must be. Lines from the book of Job flashes through my mind. What is the way to the place where the lightning is dispersed? Place where the east winds are scattered over the earth? Job needed to be reminded of God's power. His life had fallen apart. His children were dead. He was broken. He was sick. His friends offered no empathy. His wife encouraged him to abandon his faith. Eventually, Job asked God why. And he responded out of a storm. God reminded Job of his control over the physical attributes of the world. This comforted him, and he responded, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. In other words, now I get it. God, I see that you don't fit into my box when life falls apart. Sometimes the most comforting thing we can do is to lie on the floor and watch the lightning. To be reminded that the God who created the world is big enough and loving enough to take care of us too. We may even start singing our favorite worship songs, tell of the might and greatness of our God. Amen. Praise be to God. Question. When was the last time you saw God's power on display? And what went through your mind as you witnessed his bigness? Think about that. Amen? Praise be to God. Let us pray. God, help us see how big you are and to stop trying to fit you into small boxes. Help us to trust that if you're big enough to create and control lightning, you are big enough to help us through life's challenges. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. And that is our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Amen. Praise God. So again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer. We pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own First Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here to conduct our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wilkinson. So you are free to join us and participate. You can give your comments and thoughts on what the writer is purveying. Amen. Praise be to God. So at this time, I will play another selection because we know that prayer changes things. Amen.
Changes things. Prayer changes things. Down on your knees you pray, rising up to a blessing. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Down on your knees you pray, rising up to a blessing. Prayer changes things. Oh, 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 oh,
changing lifestyles. Every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. While I'm teaching, do not disturb. Every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions have to be heard. Before the child, if you spare the rod, teach your kids to obey God. Discipline kids at an early age, and it'll follow them right to the grave. Be humble and accept correction. Travel the path in the right direction. To work hard being poor means more than a pain and wealth by breaking a law. Wise men avoid a fight, but fools will argue all day and night. Fools don't even think about the facts, cause all they wanna do is attack. Prepare before making moves. If not, then you're bound to lose. It pays to keep a big mouth shut. Some have lost their lives for talking too much. I give what I can to the helpless, plus hope and pray that they all get justice. Work brings profit, talk brings poverty. When I'm on the job, don't bother me. It shouldn't hurt to be criticized. If it's constructive, you'll become wise. Your hang up is life's unfair. Have you ever heard of faith and prayer? You can't always have a good day or everything going your way. A story sounds good when it's just one side. Listen to them both before you decide. Wounds from a friend of me, a better than kisses from an enemy, enemy. The wicked finally lose, the righteous finally win. Trust in the Lord, respect and fear him. Courage secures when you're facing death. Without courage, there's no hope left. When you're generous, they often ask of you. When you're broke, folks are quick to pass you. Be aware of flattery and charm, cause all they mean to do is harm. An enemy who wants to provide for you is only trying to game and bribe you. Before world peace is felt, we have to find peace with self. The solution isn't even a hard one. Peace only comes from God's Son. Counseling and common sense can all be obtained at a small expense, just by keeping hearts and minds wide open and taking the Proverbs that was spoken. Every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God, cause every Christian needs a good word. I wrote a song on the book of Proverbs. These instructions had to be heard. Now meditate daily on the word of God.
Amen. God in heaven, whatever is born of you overcomes the world. We are born of you, and so we overcome the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, because you are God in heaven, the God over all, the God in heaven. Forgive our little faith when it comes to living and walking in the victory you have gained for us through the cross of Jesus Christ. Have mercy on us when we doubt your promises. You are the God of heaven. You are over all. Show us your great grace as you pardon our sins against you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And it's as simple as that. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Amen. Praise be to God.
You're listening to
a plethora of life's enigmas has incapacitated your people. Lord, we cry for the power that comes from being in your presence to resuscitate us so that we may live. Lord, we proclaim you now. Your mighty power and your awesome majesty. Hallelujah. Lord, come upon us now. Your power.
We need your power.
And let your presence,
let your presence fall.
Hallelujah. Come on, voices of Citadel. I need you to harmonize tonight. And let's talk to the Lord. Lord, we proclaim your name.
Lord, we proclaim.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Without.
You can't breathe without.
set free. Lord, work on us. Lord, work on us. Lord, work on us tonight. Come on, with your hands raised and your mouth open, just cry out to the Lord. Say, oh Lord. Receive new joy. Hallelujah. In your presence is fullness of joy. At the right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We cry out to your Lord. Oh Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. God in heaven, we thank you for causing us to always triumph in Christ Jesus and for having given us the victory through our Savior. As the God of heaven, you own all. You know all. You are over all. Thank you for your greatness and might, and yet for not forgetting about us. Rather, you desire to intimately relate to us in a loving way. Thank you, God in heaven, for who you are and how you have chosen to express yourself through the blessed gift of sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to earth so that we may know you more fully through him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And as we get ready to go into our lesson for this evening, we are going to welcome our First Lady, Nadine Wiggins, with a hand clap praise. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, God.
Praise God.
God bless you. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. How about
Amen.
You?
Bless. I'm still on this side of the world.
Ooh, yeah. I don't know if that's the best place to be, but we are still here. I mean, I used to, you know, we do think that,
yes.
You know, being here, is the best place to be. But you remember, I think it's a scripture that Paul talks about that.
Yes.
But it's better to be with the Lord than to be on this side. But
absolutely.
As long as we're here, we're going to do what we got to do.
Absolutely. But we don't look at it like that. But,
right.
You know, we just grateful that to see another day.
Day, yes.
Like you said, is it better for us to be here or better to be with the Lord?
Right. Anyway, I don't think Mother may not be here today. I had spoke to her yesterday, so she's not going to be able to make it. She's doing okay. It's just that her aide comes on Tuesday evenings, and the stuff that she has her aide doing.
Right.
For her, so it's sort of like. Yeah, but she says she's going to change the day. Change the day for the aide to make it another day.
Oh, to come?
At some point. Yeah, instead of coming. Tuesday, maybe Monday or something like that, but she'll work it out.
Oh, yeah, because we're not on Mondays.
Right.
Oh, yeah, so this way she doesn't get to miss, the lessons.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see where we're. We still in Amos. We almost out of Amos.
Huh?
Oh, Sister Barbara. Hi.
Good evening. How's everybody?
Oh, great. And yourself?
Blessed and highly favored. Thank you.
Amen.
And
praise God. And so we will.
I forgot where we at because we haven't been. Are we still in?
We're still in Amos. We have to go do the. We're up to the survey. The survey of Amos.
Survey. Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so let's just open up in prayer. Dear God, Lord God, we love you, Lord God. We praise you, Lord God. Lord God, you are our everything, Lord God. You are sovereign, Lord God. You know everything, Lord God. Lord God, you are with us all the time, and we thank you, Lord God. Lord God, you give us the confidence that we need just by knowing, Lord God, that you love us so much, Lord God, and that we can do all things through you, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord God, and we ask you, Father, to always help us to remember that it's your will, not our will, Lord God, and we only want to be obedient to you, Father. So we just thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord God, that guides us and directs us and leads us, Lord God. Lord God, we ask you to be in the midst of this lesson, Lord God, so that everything that we say and do will be pleasing to you, Lord God, and also to be correct, Lord God. We welcome you. We invite you. We praise your holy name. Lord God, I thank you for each and every person, Lord God, that is here today, Lord God. We all have an ear to hear, Lord God, and we want to hear what you say, Lord God. And we're just so eager, Lord God, to know more and more and more about you, Father. So we thank you. We praise you for your son, Jesus, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So we are doing a survey of Amos. And we'll begin with Amos's message of the coming doom of the northern kingdom of Israel seemed preposterous to the people. And do you remember why they thought it was preposterous of their doom by the other surrounding countries? Why did they think it was crazy?
Oh, no, I forgot.
Why did they think that Amos's message of the coming doom to the northern kingdom of Israel seemed preposterous to the people? Why did they think it's like, that's crazy, that ain't going to happen to us?
Because they didn't believe. They didn't believe Amos because he was not a prophet, I think. That's it. Was it? Right.
But what else did they, I mean, why were they so confident that nothing would happen to them?
Was it because of their idols?
Well, their idols too, but it was mainly, remember when we read further in the beginning, was that the surrounding countries at that time were very weak. They were very weak countries, and it was mainly like, you know, Egypt and Syria, and even Babylon. At this time, those countries were just very weak, and Northern Kingdom of Israel was like, those countries are gonna take us over. Oh well, that ain't gonna happen. So they're so, you know, they felt like those surrounding countries were weak, mm-hmm. and they were at that time, right? They were Syria, Egypt, Babylon. Assyria, Egypt, Babylon. Those are the surrounding countries. They were like, please, you can talk all you want. They can't do nothing to us because they felt that they were more powerful. So Amos, prophesizes that these same little weak countries is going to take over Israel was to them like, that ain't going to happen because we are so powerful. So the external circumstances have never looked better in the north. It is a time of, remember, they had the booming businesses, bulging boundaries, soaring optimism.
Yes.
However, the internal conditions have never looked worse. So internally, externally, they looked like, child, they had it going on. But internally, the conditions have never looked worse. injustice, greed, hypocrisy, oppression, and arrogance. Unsurprisingly, Amos' earnest and forceful message against Israel's sins and abuse was poorly received. So they thought they were, like my pastor said, they thought they were a bag of chips. They're like, yo, we got it going on. So this is, y'all know what you're talking about. The prophet of Israel's Indian summer presents a painfully clear message. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. And that is in chapter 4, verse 12, where Amos says, therefore, thus I will do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you, O Israel, prepare to meet your God. And then it goes on to say the four divisions of Amos are the eight prophecies, and we saw that in, it's in chapter 1, verses 1 through 2 and 16. So that's a lot to read. So we probably read it anyway when we read them.
Yeah, we did.
The second division is the three sermons, which is in chapter 3 to chapter 6. Mm-hmm. And then the five visions, which is in chapter 7 and chapter 9. And then the fourth one is the five promises, which is in chapter 9, 1 to 15. So the first thing is the eight prophecies. So Amos is called by God to the inevitable task of leaving his homeland, right? Task of leaving his homeland. What was his homeland? Where was Amos from?
He was in Judah.
Right. He was from Judah. So God had him leave his homeland, Judah, to preach a harsh message to the judgment of Israel. So Hilda, it's not so much that he was a prophet. God chose him to be a prophet, but he wasn't from northern Israel. He was from Judah, and God had him leave Judah to preach a harsh message of judgment to Israel.
Okay.
Each of his eight oracles in the chapters 1 and 2 begins with the statement for three transgressions of, and for four. So each one of those in chapters 1 and 2, and maybe we can look at it just to see that, because each one of them starts with for three transgressions and four. So the fourth transgression is equivalent to the last straw. In other words, that's like for three transgressions and for four, which is like your last straw.
Mm-hmm.
The iniquities of each of the eight countries is false. So if we look at chapter 1 through chapter 2, 16, that's a lot to me. But anyway, just to sum it up. So for three transgressions of, and for four. The fourth transgression is equivalent to the last straw. The iniquity of each of the eight countries is full. So you know that northern Israel is eight countries in northern Israel. Eight, nine, ten. No. It has to be should be 10 countries in northern Israel, because southern Israel was just Judah and Benjamin. So, could somebody look up how many countries was in northern Israel?
It was 10. It was only 12.
Exactly. But I guess here is the only, because he says the inequities of each of the 8 countries is full. Amos begins with the nations that surround Israel. Or maybe these are the countries that surround Israel. Okay. So Amos begins with the nations that surround Israel as his catalog of catastrophes, gradually spiraling in on Israel itself. So so these are the 8 countries that surrounds Israel.
Mm-hmm.
7 times God declares, I will send fire. So, Hilda, can you get chapter 1, verse 4, verse 7, verse 10, verse 12, and verse 14, and Sister Barbara get Amos 2, verses 2 and 5.
Okay, so 1 and 4 says, So I will send down fire on King Hazael, Cleft Valley, and the fortress of King Ben-Hadad will be destroyed. That's 4 and number 7.
7.
So I will send down fire on the walls of Gaza, and all its fortress will be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
10. So I will send down fire on the walls of Tyre, and all its fortresses will be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
So I will send down fire on Teman and the fortresses of Bozara will be destroyed.
Verse
2. So I will send down fire on the walls of Rabbah, and all its fortresses will be destroyed. The battle will come upon them with shouts, like a whirlwind and a mighty storm.
Right. And Sister Barbara, 2, 2 and 5.
Okay. Mine goes from 1 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the 3 great sins of Moab, make that 4, I'm not putting up with her any longer. She violated the corpse of Edom's king, burning it to cinders. For that, I'm burning down Moab, burning down the forts of Kiriah. Moab will die in the shouting, go out in the blare of war trumpets. I'll remove the king from the center and kill all his princes with him. God's decree. And you said 5, it says 4 mm-hmm. and 5, God's message. Because of the 3 great sins of Judah, make that 4. I'm not putting up with them any longer. They rejected God's revelation, refused to keep my commands, but they swallowed the same old lies. They got their ancestors onto dead-end roads. For that, I'm burning down Judah, burning down all the forts of Jerusalem. Amen.
Yeah, so who's just reiterate, who's Moab? Who's the people of Moab?
Moab is the people that Lot's daughter had intercourse with her father, two
yep.
daughters, but one of them had intercourse with the father, and that's the people that were from that relationship.
Right, and this is Lot's oldest daughter. His younger daughter, who's his younger daughter's descendants, Hilda?
They were the name Ben-Ami, He is the father of the sons of Ammon.
So the Ammonites, Ammon.
The Ammonites.
It's still Lot's younger daughter. It's Lot's younger daughter.
Younger daughter, yeah.
Right, right. It's Lot's younger daughter.
Yeah,
so all of these countries are Hazael, Hadah, Hazael, Gaza. These are the surrounding, Teman, all of these are the surrounding countries of northern Israel, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe we should look at a map of northern Israel. God is specifically talking about the surrounding countries. And Judah is considered a surrounding country of northern Israel because it's at the south of it, right?
Yeah, the south of the surrounding countries. Okay.
Yeah.
So it was the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Hittites.
Yeah, so when you look at this map, you see Moab, you see Ammon, and then you see those other little countries. This is too tiny for me to see, but... you know, it's so funny because Apia, my daughter, is taking a, you know, she's in a theology school. She was, but I call her a theology school dropout. But,
why?
She,
why she, drop
she dropped out? She said it was too much work. Whatever.
It's a lot of work and it's hard.
It was a lot of work, but she could do it. But she just, you know, she wants to enjoy her summer and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, they had to, one of her assignments was to literally not take a copy, not trace it, but to draw a map of ancient Israel.
Oh,
and I'm like, but why? I don't understand why. What's that assignment about? Because I would have to be like, I cannot draw. But she did it. It was beautiful. It looked just like the map. I said, I guess you can do it. You put your mind to it. You can do whatever you want to do.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So, anyway, those were the surrounding areas. So, the next section is the three sermons. And those three sermons are in chapters 3:1 to 6:14. And it says, in these chapters, Amos delivers three sermons, each beginning with the phrase, hear this word. So, Hilda, can you get Amos 3:1 and Sister Barbara, Amos 4:1, and I'll do Amos 5:1.
Okay, 3:1 says, listen to this message that the Lord has spoken against you, O people of Israel and Judah, against the entire family I rescued from Egypt. Amen.
Mm-hmm. So your translation says listen to this word, which is equivalent to hear this word. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, listen here.
Mm-hmm. What did y'all say?
Hear. It says hear this word. Yeah. So you have 4:1. What did y'all say for 4:1?
Listen to this, you cows of Bashan, grazing on the slopes of Samaria. You women, mean to the poor, cruel to the down and out, indolent and pampered. You demand of your husbands, bring us a tall, cool drink.
Mm-hmm. You cows.
Okay.
Oh, boy. Bring me a tall, cool drink. Drake.
Oh,
they like they said they demanded from the husband. Look, you better bring me a tall, cool glass of that drink.
Right.
Yes.
And I guess, you know, of course, for a woman to be that aggressive was definitely looked down upon.
Mm-hmm.
And then 5:1 says, "Hear this word that I am going to intone over you as a lament, O house of Israel." So the first sermon, which is in chapter 3, and it goes from 1 to 15, is a general pronouncement of judgment because of Israel's iniquity. Mm-hmm. The second sermon, which is chapter 4, exposes the crimes of the people and describes the ways God has chastened them in order to draw them back to himself. 5 times, he says, "Yet you have not turned to me." Mm-hmm. And so 4 and 6 says, "And I in turn gave you cleanliness of teeth in all your cities and lack of bread in all your places. Mm-hmm. Yet you did not return to me." Is the declaration of Yahweh. And then Hilda, can you read chapter 4, verses 8 through 11?
Mm-hmm. Okay. 8 says, "People staggered from town to town looking for water, but there was never enough. But still you would not return to me, says the Lord. I struck your farms and vineyards with blight and mildew. Locusts devoured all your fig and olive trees. But still, you would not return to me, says the Lord. I sent plagues on you, like the plagues I sent on Egypt long ago. I killed your young men in war and led all your horses away. The stench of death filled the air, but still you would not return to me, says the Lord."
That's like, wow. That's heavy. I mean, that's
real
like,
heavy.
What?
But I didn't get to 11. You said 8 to 11, right?
Yeah, 8 to 11, yes.
Let me do 11. "I destroyed some of your cities as I destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah.
And
those of you who survived were like charred sticks pulled from a fire. But still, you would not return to me," says the Lord.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Well, how many times? How many times to turn back to him?
Why do you think that? Why do you think that they were? Let's just discuss that. Why do you think that through all of that that had happened to them, why do you think that they didn't just say, "God, forgive me," or "God, help me," or "God, help us"? Why do you think they did that?
I think they thought they could do it all by themselves, that they didn't
need
God. Thank
you. Yes. Yes.
Because
mm-hmm.
they had
mm-hmm. Right. You feel the same way too, Hilda. I think that too, but one of the other things that comes to my mind is that there was so many, because of these wicked kings, there were so many Israelites who really didn't even know God. They didn't
right.
know of him, and they didn't know
mm-hmm.
anything about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they had their kings and the priests, they were worshiping idols. And especially
yeah.
you think about generations, you know, generations of people who come about. So same thing like we say here, you know, when we have, we're Christians, and if you don't teach your children about Christ, they don't know who to call on either. You know, I mean, eventually, sometimes you pray they'll get to that point, but you know, you have Christian families or Christian backgrounds in your family, and then you wonder why, well, what happened to the kids? Well, if they weren't taught who God is, they wouldn't know to call on him. And I kind of feel, I feel like this is that type of situation where they didn't know who God was. So why would they call on him?
But if I can just add something, we know that Amos was sent by God as a prophet. And in his messages, he says, God roars from Zion. He tells them about God, that he's mad, that these are the things that are going to happen if you don't get it right. So if they knew him or didn't know him, they were told by Amos that God was going to do this, thus, and such. And he came from Judah.
They were warned.
So that's a big deal to come from another part of town, another state, really, to come and warn your other people, your other kinsmen, that God is not pleased. And they still didn't listen.
Right. I do. I hear that. I definitely hear that, too. And I feel, too, that they, you know, another thing, too, which sort of baffles me also. I mean, it's one thing to hear the prophet warn you and nothing happens. But here, God had five times God caused disaster upon them. So they had proof of his, what he would do. He did everything that the prophet told him.
His word,
told him that
decree.
He would do.
Exactly. They still would not get it right. They wouldn't change.
Right. Because I think also that they didn't turn back, even though the prophet told them and they saw what was happening, is because they didn't see God. They only saw destruction. You know, they also was so used to seeing kings and rulers and stuff. But when God, they did not see. And like with the older generation, they wanted a God that they could see. Or they wanted a king, so God gave them a king.
Right. And that's the reason why they built the idols, because they could see the golden calf.
Exactly.
Well
you know what makes me think
seen,
about me
let
personally?
Me just say
put,
they may not have seen God, but they saw the hand of God. They saw the destruction that was said was going to come upon them, and it came upon them. Plagues like the ones in Egypt, you know, starving, the food, the crops, the famine. They saw the hand of God.
So my question, too, is that what made you come to Christ? Now, some people grew up, but what made you come to Christ? Because the reason why I'm asking that, because I'm putting myself personally into this situation, and I can remember my cousin telling me about Jesus, and like a prophet, she was always telling me about Jesus, and I would be like, listen, I don't want to hear about no Jesus. And as my life got worse and I got into as many problems and horrible situations, right?
Yes.
Like, it had to take me to get to rock bottom, which I'll say for me, my rock bottom was developing breast cancer. And even after developing the breast cancer, it still took me a minute to even to come to God. And I'm hearing it in my ear. She wouldn't let up on me. She would send me tracks from St. Croix. She's like, what is wrong with her? So I can, you know, relate to how sometimes people can go through things in their lives and you say, yeah, that's the hand of God. But, you know, sometimes people just say, well, I just got a little bad luck. Don't see God. They don't know they don't see it. They're like, I got bad luck. That's a song. Remember that song, Bad Luck? That's what you got. That's what you got. And that's how most people will see when bad things happen in their life. They see it as bad luck. They don't actually always see the hand of God. And I know I didn't see the hand of God in my life until, I guess, it was time. I was ready, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did anybody have any other similar experience coming to Christ? Or
well, mine for me coming to Christ was that, I mean, like growing up, I had some bad things happen to me, you know, through my family, you know, how you say it. Let's just say I was raped, right, by my family member. And I thought, at first I had, you know, blamed my moms and everything because I was the oldest girl. And she took me down to when I was 2 years old to live with my grandparents. And of course, you know, I was like fully developed for my age. And, you know, down there at that, during those years, the women were, you know, very scarce and whatnot. And when you have, you know, things and then you got teenage uncles and them and they looking at you with, you know, all this lust in their eyes and things, and me as a frightened child, because here I am with no siblings and whatnot down there, and it was like I was the target. And my grandmother used to always like send me to my aunt's house to get something for her. And you know, in the South, but in those days, it's like you living in the woods. And the road is like, wow, like a mile out, and you have to walk that far. But anyway, when I never told anybody about it. I just, you know, continue on living my life. And finally, my mother came and she got me, and she brought me back up here. And I stayed with my aunt for a while, and then I had to go and stay with my mother and take care of my sisters and my brother. So after that, then I used to see my uncle and stuff sometimes, but I would never wanted to be alone in the same room with him. I would always, when he comes in, I would go out. And my mother used to ask me, why every time so-and-so come in the room, you leave the room? I said, no reason. I was just wanting to go outside and play with my sisters and them. I couldn't tell her because, during those days, my mother was a fighting woman. She didn't care who you was, family or no family. She will slice your throat. Okay? She was a sweet woman, but mess with her children, now you're in trouble. So anyway, one Sunday, I was listening to family radio, and I heard this pastor talking, and he was saying that, you know, when bad things happen to young people, and it's for you not to blame yourself for what happened to you in your lifetime, because you are a child. You don't know any better. But the person who did the crime to you knew better. They knew what they were doing. So that sin falls on them. And so from that, I used to do the studying with the program where they send you the booklets with everything in it, and I used to do it and send it to them and whatnot. And then when my sister's grandparents came to New York, they were Seventh-day Adventists. So every Wednesday and Friday, I used to go downstairs with them because, you know, my mother's neighbors and things, they used to take us to, to Catholic. And I didn't like, you know, that the way they were doing things. So it was like, to me, it was dead. It wasn't alive. There was no spirit. So when I did the Seventh-day Adventist, then I decided that that's what I wanted to be. And, you know, and everything. So I joined the Seventh-day Adventist and I stayed. And then when I met my husband, we all converted into Seventh-day Adventist, and I raised my children in Seventh-day Adventist. But then when I left Brooklyn and I moved to the Bronx and I went to the Seventh-day Adventist church up on Bronxwood, and those Seventh-day Adventist people, honey, they were too sadiddy for me. You know, like, if you ain't got a
I've been to that church. I've been to that Seventh-day. I've been to that Seventh-day Adventist on Bronxwood. It's a big, beautiful church.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. A lot of the people, because a friend of mine, it goes, is a member there. They have a lot of the people there, professionals. I know exactly the air that you find there.
Yeah, so that made me left that church. And then my sister told me, come and go to her church, which was Emmanuel. So I started going to Emmanuel, and that's how I got into Emmanuel Church.
Oh, so then you became Baptist.
Right.
Yeah.
I didn't re-baptize. I was baptized as a Seventh-day Adventist, but I went on into Emmanuel under Christian Experience.
Of course. Of course. Yeah.
And
of course.
I stayed there from 2002 until pastor got into, you know, then the pastor died and all that. And here I am now with House of the Lord.
So I just wanted to, because I sort of like really related to the disasters and the warnings and because I've had the same warnings and, girl, you need to come to Christ, where I ignored it too, you know.
I did too for a while.
So it took a while, you know, and that's why, you know, when you I think, when does it go? You plant the seed and
that's what they were doing.
That's why when you evangelize, you're planting the seed.
Planting the seed into my spirit. And that's
right, and
I
then the God waters it, and God gets the glory. So that's what our evangelism is. It's so that people can hear it. You know, at least hear the word, like the prophets. They can hear it. They may not accept it, by the way.
Exactly.
At least they heard it. You know, they heard
but
it.
But at least it was planted, you know.
Right.
It was planted. And so I tried to get my sisters and them into it, but, you know, they weren't ready. They was, you know, like the partying and thing, because, you know, there's a lot of things in this world is very attractive, and they just don't want to let go yet. I told them, don't wait till you get on your sick bed to then decide that, oh, I want to turn my life over to Christ. Now is the time. Don't wait till that time.
All right. So as we go on, it says the third. Sister Barbara, did you want to say anything about?
I just want to say that I didn't really have an experience like that. I was baptized at the age of 5. And so from 5 on, I was kind of, you know, following Jesus. As I got older, you know, you kind of stop doing the things that you need to do, going to church, you're busy with college or whatever, and you try to find yourself, you know. So I never got away from God. I might have stopped going to church at some point in my life, but Jesus was always a part of my life.
Praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, I think about that too with my daughters, you know, because they, you know, and I thank and praise God, you know, that they also, you know, grew up in church, and they still, they never forgot, you know, who Jesus is in their lives. You know, they didn't have that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Go away and you know, only, well, Shawnee did. Shawnee went away to college, I tried to find her church. I even went out to Philly. Send her to a church.
Find her church in Philly, because you're like, there's no churches around here. I'm like, girl, we're going to find you a church. But
she eventually did, after she graduated from, because she's not through college at all. She was, you know, she's hanging tough. But, I mean, she eventually did find a church in Philly that she had begun to attend. So, But anyway, so as we go on, so the third sermon, which is chapters 5 and 6, lists the sins of the house of Israel and calls the people to repent. But they hate integrity. They hate justice. They hate compassion. And their refusal to turn to Yahweh will lead to their exile. Although they arrogantly wallow in luxury, their time of prosperity will suddenly come to an end, which we know. So the next part is the five visions, which is in goes from chapter 7 to chapter 9. And that's where Amos's three sermons are followed by five visions of coming judgment upon the northern kingdom. The first two judgments of locusts and fire do not come to pass because of Amos's intercession. The third vision of the plumb line is followed by the only narrative section in the book, which
What is a plumb line?
Good question. The third
a
vision of a plumb line.
Is something that builders use, and it's usually a line, a string, with a weight at the end of it, and they drop from a certain height in order to make whatever they're building be in line.
Wow.
To make it straight.
Okay.
That's a plumb line.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Barbara.
Thank you.
And then, Sister Barbara, can you read Amos chapter 7, verses 10 through 17? Because it should describe what Amos is referring to as a plumb line.
Okay.
Amaziah, priest at the shrine at Bethel, sent a message to Jeroboam, king of Israel. Amos is plotting to get rid of you, and he's doing it as an insider, working from within Israel. His talk will destroy the country. He's got to be silenced. Do you know what Amos is saying? Jeroboam will be killed. Israel is headed for exile. We just said read to what?
7:10 to 17.
Okay. Then Amaziah confronted Amos. Seer, be on your way. Get out of here and go back to Judah where you came from. Hang out there. Do your preaching there. But no more preaching at Bethel. Don't show your face here anymore. This is the king's chapel. This is a royal shrine. But Amos stood up to Amaziah. I never set up to be a preacher. Never had plans to be a preacher. I raised cattle, and I pruned trees. Then God took me off the farm and said, Go, preach to my people, Israel. So listen to God's word. You tell me. Don't preach to Israel. Don't say anything against the family of Isaac. But here's what God is telling you. Your wife will become a whore in town. Your children will get killed. Your land will be auctioned off. You will die homeless and friendless. And Israel will be hauled off to exile, far from home. Amen.
Amen. So the Bible definition of the plumb line that God is referring to, because right, it says Amos pleads with God to relent, his judgment, and in their place, God places a plumb line. And as Barbara said, a plumb line is a weight suspended from a string used as a vertical reference line to ensure that a structure is centered. It has a lot to do with the righteousness that is living in the right relationship with God and his neighbors. And it says, as the Lord, a plumb line, also called a plummet, is a cord with non-magnetic weights attached at one end. So the term plumb line is used in scripture in several contexts. The Lord pictures himself as a builder in Isaiah. And he says, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. This is a promise of the unshakable kingdom with the Messiah in charge of Jesus Christ, the precious cornerstone. But So the plumb line is used in scripture as a specific like a measurement that the righteousness of God will be perfect as a builder uses a plumb line to make sure that you know that the building is centered.
Okay.
So it's to center God's people. That's what the plumb line is. Biblically.
Right. To center God's people into his righteousness. Mm-hmm. Yep. Amen. So Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, wants Amos to go back to Judah. Get out of here. He's a priest at that. Get out of here.
They didn't want
take
to hear
behind. Back to Judah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth vision pictures Israel as a basket of rotten fruits overripe for judgment.
That's what they were called, a basket of rotten fruits. So they were used in
the fifth vision is a relentless portrayal of Israel's unavoidable judgment. So Amaziah don't want to hear a daggone thing. He like,
nope.
No, please, we don't want to take your mind back to Judah.
Don't bring that over here.
Right. I don't want to hear that.
We're doing quite well without you. Ain't going to things up. That's like one of the scriptures with Ahab. That's that was the funniest thing that I've read. It was Ahab and Elijah, you know, the prophet Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
And Elijah, this was after God had caused a 3-year drought in Israel. So Elijah goes to Ahab because he was in hiding and Ahab was looking for him. So Elijah confronts Ahab because God said, now is your time to go and I'm going to stop the 3-year drought. You know, he does the whole thing with Ahab. So he goes to Ahab and Ahab says, what are you doing here, you troublemaker? And Elijah's like, you're the troublemaker. How dare you call me a troublemaker? You killing God's prophets and you calling me a troublemaker? Your wife Jezebel, you and your wife Jezebel are the biggest troublemakers ever. You going to call me the prophet, the troublemaker?
Exactly.
You call me the troublemaker. You know the troublemaker. And
the
five promises.
All the priests.
Mm-hmm. Hilda, can you read chapter 9, verses 11 to 15? And that's the five promises.
Okay. Eleven says, in that day I will restore the fallen house of David. I will repair its damaged walls. From the ruins I will rebuild it and restore its former glory. And Israel will possess what is left of Edom, and all the nations I have called to be mine. The Lord has spoken, and he will do these things. The time will come, says the Lord, when the grain and grapes will grow faster than they can be harvested. Then the terraced vineyards on the hills of Israel will drip with sweet wine. I will bring my exiled people of Israel back from distant lands, and they will rebuild their ruined cities and live in them again. They will plant vineyards and gardens. They will eat their crops and drink their wine. I will firmly plant them there in their own land. They will never again be uprooted from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God.
Amen.
Amen.
So, what do you think of that?
I think absolutely wonderful.
He's going to restore them.
God loves them.
Yes. 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 It's just an indication of how much God loves them and how much God loves us.
That's
right.
In spite of all that we do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He's always willing for restoration.
Mm-hmm.
He hates
and
the
what
sin.
Do we...
He loves the sinner.
Exactly. Exactly. He requires of us to repent, you know.
Right. Because
exactly.
God so... will love human race so much that he would give his only... His only son.
Mm-hmm.
Not even a human being would want to do that. But God is. Mm-hmm. As
so,
as God
so awesome.
To say, God
mm-hmm.
is good.
Yes, he is. Yes.
So let me finish reading this. So Amos has hammered upon the theme of divine retribution with oracles, sermons, and visions. Nevertheless, he ends his book on a note of consolation, not condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
God promises to reinstate the Davidic line, to renew the land, and to restore the people. So how does God reinstate, and when does God reinstate the Davidic line after exile?
Through Jesus Christ.
Say that again.
Through Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Yep. God kept his promise.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Praise be to God.
Thank the Lord.
Whatever he promises, he fulfills his promise.
He will provide.
And don't fulfill nothing. Absolutely nothing. I promise you this and I promise you that. Yeah? Where is it?
Bye. So I just want to say that I'm just piggybacking off of, because we still got a few more minutes. Hilda, could you read chapter 1, 9, and 10?
Chapter 1? Okay.
Yeah, 9 and 10.
9 and 10 says, this is what the Lord said. The people of Tyre have sinned again and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. They broke their treaty of brotherhood with Israel, selling whole villages as slaves of Edom. So I will send down fire on the walls of and all its fortresses will be destroyed.
Amen. So what do we know about Tyre and what do we know about Edom?
They were descendants from Esau.
That's who's that? Who is descendant? Who was a descendant of Esau?
I had it real down here. Okay. Sister Barbara, you want to answer that one? And I had it written down.
Esau, his descendants were Edomites.
Right. And then what did we learn about the king of Tyre? Go back to Barbara's class.
Tyre,
what do we know about the...
about kind of comparing him to Satan? We didn't know
in the scripture
whether it was the king of Tyre or Satan. It was so, you know, mysterious that we couldn't quite say whether it was the prince of darkness or the king of Tyre.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the king of Tyre, when we were reading Isaiah, was describing the king exactly how, describing the king of Tyre, you know, the same way that we know about the history of being thrown out, him being beautiful, he was beautiful too. You know,
right.
He was almost like the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Tyre was like one of the Antichrists of Satan. So when you see that,
Antichrist of God.
No, Antichrist of God, but meaning that when I said the Antichrist of Satan, meaning that he followed. You know, Antichrist is follow Satan. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
So it's against Christ. Yeah, against
mm-hmm.
God. So that was the king of Tyre. So that was it. That was it. So
oh.
It's 8 o'clock. And
we didn't go with the homework,
so
but that's
the Edom and Israel.
Now the homework.
Had descendants
mm-hmm.
from Isaac. They were descendants from Isaac.
Who?
The twins.
The
Esau
twins.
And Jacob.
Right, so the Edomites come from Esau.
Right.
The Edomites, yeah, they come from Esau. Write it down.
I did.
We don't know the progeny of Tyre.
What do you mean?
We don't know where he
said
came
it again.
From. We don't know where Tyre came from, the progeny of Tyre.
Yeah, no, we don't. But we can look that up. Okay, so we had our homework. What was our homework assignment for my class? I thought this was for yours. The thousand
no.
years?
Your class was who? The Hittites. That was the
oh homework. right. Thank you. Who were the Hittites? Yep. The Hittites. That's right. Who were the Hittites? Can I have it? Written down. It's 8:02. Does anybody want to, Sister Barbara, you want to tell us about the Hittites?
No, I have to go.
Oh, okay. All right. So we'll do it next week.
Okay.
So we got next week, we want to know about Tyre, the people
mm-hmm.
of Tyre, and the
his
Hittites.
Ancestry.
Okay?
Tyre, where did Tyre come from?
Yeah, Tyre's ancestry, and of course we already had the Hittites. Okay,
now,
guys.
The question is, who is Tyree?
Where did he come from? Esau.
Where did Tyree come from?
Descendants.
Right.
Yeah, descendants of Tyree.
Okay.
Not the descendants. Where did he come from? Like
no,
Esau,
the descendants, like before him. Yeah, not descendants. Descendants of people come after him.
Okay, so Tyree was one of the two brothers. But Tyree is not a person, it's a city.
Yeah, but there
was also
a
king.
The king of Tyree. But they may have
never
been.
It may not be his name, but.
Right.
I don't know if he had a name or not. But anyway. Okay. Where
well, most of these places. Most of these places come from a people, because Edom is a place too. Ammon is a place. Moab is a place. So all of the places come from a person.
Right.
You know,
that's why
they
I
have
saying,
a generation.
Find out where Tyree came from, not who came from him, but where did he come from? That's what I'm trying to.
Right. Yeah. No, I was just saying to you know Hilda that even though it is a place. There's a person that he came from, just like all of them. Judah, we know Judah came from the son Judah, right? Every place in that time came from a people. People took plot of land, and they say, "This is our land. This is our section."
And I just want to add, in the case of Judah, it came from a tribe.
The tribe of Judah, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
All right,
lady. It was a son, yeah. So he was a person. Judah was a person, right?
It was a person,
was one
but
of
there
the
was
12
a tribe. The tribe
right.
of Judah.
So all of his descendants become the tribe of Judah. Judah is the person, all his descendants become the tribe. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, guys. So, Hilda, you want to pray us out? Precious and Heavenly Father, thank you for all that was said this evening. And I pray that each and every one of us got something out of this lesson this evening. Thank you for our First Lady who conducted the lesson and gave us correct answers and insights on all different what was said in the lesson this evening. Thank you for life, strength, health, wisdom, and understanding. Thank you for providing us with all of our needs. Thank you for waking us up this morning, clothing our right minds, divine healing in our bodies. We pray that you continue to guide us and lead us in the way that you would have us to go. And most of all, Lord God, let your will be done in our lives, not our will, but your will be done. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray.
Amen.
Praise God.
Thank you. Okay, bye. Love you guys.
Good night.
See you tomorrow.
Shalom.
Bye-bye.
Shalom. I'll play my song. I feel like hearing my song tonight.
Go ahead and hear your song.
I love songs. Good night, First Lady. Love you.
Love you too. Bye.
The honor, all the glory belongs to you, belongs to you. All the worship, all the praise belongs to you, belongs to you. I can't help but
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.
On. Oh, thank you. Okay. Sage is asking you to confirm that you want to leave information you enter may not be.